nothing to kill or die for. And no religion to. Imagine all the people living life in peace.
Now you may say, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as
imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no country, it's hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer. We'll be right back.
Welcome, you're listening to The Women Reelevated on Thor Radio Network. I'm Layla, your host, and my mission is to exemplify righteousness and abundance, to inspire, uplift, and empower those who are willing to lives of vision, action, persistence, accomplishment, wealth, and contribution through a never-ending quest for the discovery and application of truths, to shine my light wherever I am and wherever I go. The Women Reelevated is an extension of my mission, as we as women are the measure of our nation. We need to raise ourselves up to the highest possible standard and take our men, sons, and daughters with us, all reelevated. Thank you for joining us each and every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Women Reelevated on Thor Radio Network.
Well, greetings, greetings, everyone. Today is wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, September the 2nd, 2015. Welcome to Thor Radio Network, which is founded by our very own brother Sharif. Welcome to the Women Reelevated. I am Layla, your sister and host. I am joined by Source Matriarch, a wonderful, powerful, and beautiful Yama. I'm always very, very grateful for this opportunity to come before you. And we join together in this common unity, also known as, we call it in our, on this network, Thor Unity. Also, and at all times present, I want to give all praises to the Most High Creator for using me as an instrument for the benefit of all. We have a very, very special guest today. I'm so excited. I can't wait to have her come before you. However, we want to hear from the matriarch of Thor, our very own Yama, who I just mentioned to you, because she's going to have a few words that she's going to share with you. Yama, are you there?
Yes, I am, Sister Layla. Shalom. Another beautiful Thor time to be in the light and to receive truth. Woman Re-Elevated. I like to go back to, I never go back, always moving forward. But to re-elevate means to move or raise to a higher place or position, to be lifted up, to be raised to a higher intellectual and spiritual level. All things from the same source, and R-E and R-A is one and in the same, and that is Ra. So when we say women re-elevated, we're saying that the Creator, the All, the I Am that I Am, is elevating us. We have a change of heart, and we realize that the level that we're on, we no longer want to be on that level because we want to be raised to a ultra-high frequency. The ultimate frequency that we can get to, that's where we want to be. And with Women Re-Elevated, that's what the show is all about, that you get the information that you hear and you actually put it into a seeing mode because it becomes action, and you can see exactly what the product of you receiving truth and being re-elevated by the Creator, the All, the I Am, which is in us. So today is a very exciting time. Our guest is coming forth, and the listeners knowing that what you receive in your ears and what you see with your eyes can be manifested for you to profit you. So today is an exciting day. The weather is beautiful in Women's Re-Elevated atmosphere. The sun's shining bright. And we're all here to be a part of the community so we can unite and be re-elevated by the All. So, Layla, it's a beautiful day, and I know we have a beautiful guest.
Absolutely. It's always a beautiful day, every single day, because guess what? I know that I am among the living, and everyone here is among the living, and as long as we're among the living, that's a beautiful thing, each and every moment of every single day.
Yes.
With that
yes,
being
it
said...
is.
Definitely, right?
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I just wanted to make a couple of announcements. The Woman Re-Elevated is on Thor Radio Network. We have Debt Show Tuesday, which we had yesterday, which was a phenomenal program that's hosted by our founder, Brother Sharif, that's aired every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I mean, I'm sorry, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. At the same call in number, the 657-383-0332, and you have the availability to, we talk about debt and debt matters. If anyone out there is experiencing a debt matter, you want to be able to get on that show because we teach you the truth about debt and any debt collector that may be knocking on your door. And for those of you who may be experiencing or know anyone experiencing a foreclosure situation, we call that is an alleged foreclosure, and that is a debt matter, and we do cover that topic as well. On Wednesdays, we're here. On Thursdays, which is tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, Thor's metaphysician, our very own Brother Francis Rebels Bay, who is a master metaphysician, in fact, he will be airing Manifesting Your Heart's Desires, Part 4. And you want to be here for that. He's taking us through all types of exercises to make sure that we are able to reach any goal, dream, and desire that we aim to do so. You have the ability to go in the archives. You can log in online during the broadcast or even after the broadcast is concluded. You can go to blogtalkradio.com and you want to /Thor Ministry Radio, that's THOR, that stands for the House of Restoration. That's what Thor stands for, the House of Restoration, Thor Ministry Radio on Blog Talk. Any and all of the episodes that you might want to hear in any particular topic, as well as this episode today, you can download it and listen to it after the show airs on that Thor Ministry Radio on Blog Talk. With that being said, we have a wonderful, wonderful guest. And I just want to bring, before we bring her forward, there's been, you know, when you seek something, you find it. When you ask, you know, when you knock, the door is open. When you ask, you know, it's given to you. That is how I have come to meet our guest. On the Jet Show, our brother Sharif has been airing Les Brown. He's been airing Pastor Miles Monroe. Then I found out that I have a friend of mine who has been personally mentioned by Les Brown. We had him on a few weeks ago. He talked about Mr. Enthusiasm, and he's a personal friend of Les Brown. And I have come to meet Cheryl, and she has written a chapter in Les Brown's book, and all of you have heard of this book, and you may even have it on your shelves. And it's called Fight for Your Dreams. She's got a chapter in that book. And I'm going to read you her bio, all right? Cheryl Nix is an Amazon number one best-selling author, inspirational poet, and speaker. Cheryl utilizes her personal triumph over drugs, poverty, domestic abuse, and alcoholism that plagued her childhood environment to inspire others to take action steps toward choosing a life of meaning, purpose, and service. Cheryl Nix has shared the stage with one of the most sought-after motivational speakers on the planet, Les Brown, and has received writing mentorship from Mark Victor Hansen, co-author of the Chicken Soup of the Soul series, book series. Cheryl has also spoken on college campuses, the church youth groups, youth camps, and many other venues. Cheryl's passion for the youth led her to her purpose, the creation of Nix International Community Foundation, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that assists in the rebuilding of communities in her hometown of New Orleans, from the youth up through healing, expression, and community involvement. Cheryl is a certified psychotherapist, a neonatal nurse practitioner, and is dedicated to serving the youth. There is one other accolade that I see that's not on there that also indicates that Cheryl is a professional life coach. All right, so without further ado, I am opening up your line, Cheryl. Are you with me, Cheryl? Cheryl, are you there? Let's see. Hold on one second, please. Everyone, please bear with me. I know she's there. Cheryl, I'm going to ask you to press one from your phone. For some reason, I have not seen your number. There we go. Cheryl,
Welcome to the Women Reelevated.
Good morning. Good morning, Layla. Good morning, Yama. And thanks to everyone who's tuned in to listen this morning.
Yes, everyone is here waiting in with bated breath to hear everything you've got to say. I'm going to yield the floor to you so you can tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, obviously, we have some questions for you. However, we just want to give you the opportunity to share some things that happened, you know, within your life journey, where you've been and where you are and where you're headed is pretty much what we're going to be talking about today. So the floor is yours.
Good morning, everyone. And this program is about inspiration and inspiring not just women but people and children also. And just a little bit about myself. I'm the oldest of five children. We grew up in a house that had two rooms and a kitchen, no bathroom, no running hot water. And the neighborhood was filled with drugs, and there was some domestic violence going on, and gambling on the street corners and fights. But through all of that, there was something that said to me, and it was probably and most likely, and I give credit to my mother and my grandmother for keeping me on the right path and keeping a vision before the children, that just because you are part of your environment, that you don't have to stay in that environment, that you can rise above adversity. So that's just a little bit about me and my childhood.
So that's beautiful. And you know, one of the things that we've been talking about, Cheryl, is, you know, you talk about your mother and your grandmother. Now, when I spoke with you, I know that you said that your father, how much education did your father have?
Yes, my father was a janitor and had a ninth grade education. So, yeah, we didn't come from a wealthy family, but we had a lot of love in our family.
That's beautiful. And you also shared with me about your mother. I mean, obviously your grandmother was a part of your life, but you told me that you are, what number child are you, and how many children did you say are in your family, and how many children did your mother have by age 22?
Yes, I'm the oldest of five, and by age 22, my mother had five children. And like I said, my mother has always been an inspiration to me, and she's still alive, and she still is an inspiration to me.
That's beautiful. You know, when we talk about the woman and the woman being the nurturer, I mean, the women, we're strong, we're powerful, we're mighty. And I've been in several conversations with men that talk about this topic. And I'm just kind of digress just for a little bit, and we're going to come back to you, but I want to bring this topic forward. But men are talking about the fact that we're in a society that puts the man, you know, the man is the patriarch of the family. And, you know, the first words that came out, and that's why I'm pausing at this point, is because you said your mother and your grandmother were the
yes.
ones that, your father was there, obviously, but it was your mother and your grandmother that kind of cemented your thought process that you are a part of the environment and you can raise above that. I mean, you're not a part of the, even though you're surrounded by this environment, you don't have to be a part of the environment. You can raise above this environment, obviously, and that's what you've done. But the reason why I'm bringing this matter forward is because the men are saying these are strong, positive men that are seeking to make a difference in their lives, and they're saying that the society is a little bit twisted. They're saying everything is with the man. They're saying that, you know, and scientific facts reveal, and since you're a neonatal nurse, I'm bringing this forward, Cheryl, that you know, the X, Y chromosome for a man or a man, and then the double X chromosome for a woman. They're saying that the script has gotten split, and that we've always in the past, in ancestral times, have had a society that was matriarchal. And we still seem to be operating out of that matriarchal society based on what you just said, the opening words you said for your mother and your grandmother.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. All right, so I kind of paused your I paused there for a second. So you've written a book, and I was fortunate enough to get an autographed copy of the book. Actually, you have two books, and I'm going with this one book first, Fight for Your Dreams, The Power of Never Giving Up. And the title of the section or the chapter that you've written in this book with Les Brown is talking about coming full circle. And you talked about a little bit about what it was like growing up in New Orleans, and you even mentioned and talked about Katrina and what you faced actually doing what it is you shared with me the other day that you actually love. Do you want to go ahead and elaborate on that, coming full circle?
Yes, coming full circle for me, as you said, I grew up in the lower ninth ward of New Orleans, and moved away for many years, but even before Hurricane Katrina, I just had a need and a desire and a longing to come back home and to do something for my community. And the dream was to open a youth center, but Hurricane Katrina came along and kind of washed that idea away, and it kind of went away for a while. But after Katrina, I came back to the neighborhood. A few of the people were back. They were trying to open a few schools, and some of the children were back. And as I went around to the schools talking to the children, I could just hear they were confused, they were frightened, they were angry. Life as they had known it was washed away. And so I said, this is a sign that I need to open my community center. And so I applied for my 501c3, and I now have a nonprofit organization. And with the help of my daughters and some friends, we have done some things in the community. We've had health fairs. We had a creative arts festival where the children were allowed to showcase their talent, and we coupled with another organization. We had about 200 school bags, and we filled them with school supplies, and we gave out to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another event that we did that was life-changing. It was called Samaritan's Feet. And like I said, with the help of my three daughters, Renika, Tia, and Lacey, and my friends like Karen and Beverly, and my family, my sisters, and on and on and on, just so many people who stepped up to the plate to help with that event. And Samaritan's Feet is an organization that goes all around the world bathing children's feet and giving them a new pair of tennis shoes. And so we picked a school here in New Orleans, and I think that was about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I picked that school, and it is in the upper ninth ward of New Orleans area, because 21% of the children attending that school at the time were homeless children. And so we partnered with Samaritan's Feet, and Sam Smith with the Carolina Panthers is ambassador for that organization, and he donated 200 pairs of tennis shoes. And we had about 160 families of children to attend, and with the help of my volunteers, like I say, my family and everybody and friends who stepped up to the plate, we bathed these little children's feet and put some socks on their feet and put a new pair of tennis shoes on their feet, and to see the smiles on their faces as they walked around with their new shoes, because some of the shoes the little kids had on, the soles were coming apart. They didn't have shoestrings in their shoes. And so many people told me that that was a life-changing experience for them. And we did this event thinking we were going to help these children, but that event changed us. And so that's some of the things my nonprofit organization has come back to the community to do.
Cheryl, there's a quote here in the book, and I want to share with everyone because this is very, very key and pivotal. It says, this is a quote that you've written. It says, to rebuild our community, we need our youth to know they're not victims. They have to know that they can turn their wounds into wisdom and that their circumstances don't create their destinies. They do. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. I mean, that we need to scream that out to the mountaintop all across the globe, you know. I mean, to all of our youth, to everyone, even the adults, because that's right. Our circumstances don't create our destinies. We do. That is so powerful. You know, in this chapter of the book, you and I were speaking, and you were talking about your love, you know, and I know that you are a neonatal nurse, and so tell us a little bit about that, because you talked about that in this chapter and what it is that you experienced when you were going through that process. Would you like to share that with the audience?
Yeah. Well, this book that I co-authored with less than several other authors, it's a book of overcoming abusive childhood. It's about achieving success, overcoming overt racism, becoming artists, entrepreneurs, speakers, authors, parents, and some people even became millionaires, overcame the obstacles in their lives and their childhoods and became millionaires. So that was the purpose of writing this book. And my personal experience back in the early 70s was trying to get into nursing school, and the overt racism that was prominent at that time. The one hospital here, public hospital, that everyone wanted to be a part of, because if you could work at that hospital, you could work at any hospital in the country. And so that was a goal and a desire to attend that nursing program. And I tried to get into the nursing program, and I called them human obstacles was placed in front of me. I was told that my ACT scores weren't high enough. I need to go somewhere else and take remedial math and English. And so I'm like, okay. So I did that, because nothing is going to stop me from my dream. I eventually went back, and I was accepted into the nursing program. And then the human obstacles of racism continued. I was allowed to test out of the classes, and I was told that my test scores were not high enough. I didn't pass the test, but I was not allowed to see my paper, where my white counterparts were. So, yes, you passed, and they were able to go on. And this happened to me twice. So I understood what the game was. We already knew that we were not really wanted there, and so we knew that the path would be hard, but I was determined that I was going to do whatever I needed to do to achieve my goal. Many times I cried, many times I thought about giving up, and something in me just said to fight for your dreams and to continue to pursue your dreams. And that's what I did, and I eventually graduated and walked across the stage as a registered nurse. Many of my friends dropped out of the program. They couldn't take the pressure. So at the end, six of us persevered and completed that program. And one of the nuns admitted to us that, and she was sorry for the fact that they practiced overt racism, but when they had to start receiving, when they started taking government money, they could no longer discriminate. And so those of us who persevered, you know, mentored some of the nurses that came behind us, and you know, they were able to also achieve their dream.
Wow. And, you know, I'm going to say kudos to you. I mean, that's the power, the divine, that's your constitution. Your very, very strong-willed constitution. And but what's still screams out to me in my head, that's the rearing of your mother and your grandmother telling you, you know, you're not a part of the environment. You don't have to succumb to the environment. You're above the environment. That I'm hearing that as you have just told that story. So
yes.
That is amazing. And by the way, congratulations, Jean. I know this is what now 30 years later, but just I'm just saying I honor you. I honor and respect what you've done because I know that that was difficult. And, yes, I can imagine a lot of people quit. In my endeavors, I've seen a lot of people quit, and you just have to keep moving forward no matter what. You've got to keep your eyes, you know, like a racehorse with blinders on, and they're going around that racetrack. They're not allowed to see right or left. They're supposed to only see forward so they can continue riding, and that's what I see that you've done in that journey.
Yes, and me also being a poet, I wrote a poem talking about some of my experiences, and it's an inspirational poem that at this point I would like to share with the audience.
Please do, because I was going to move there, because I wanted, before you go there, Cheryl, I mean, what I was going to do, I was moving from this book, because Cheryl would write a chapter in that book with Les Brown, Fight for Your Dreams, but Cheryl has another book that we're going to move to, and she's going to share a poem, and the name of the book is Poems for the Heart with Steps to Grow By. And that also comes accompanied with a CD. So, Cheryl, by all means, go ahead.
Okay, this poem is called My Next Steps. And I like to use words and acronyms and things to create poetry around. And I use my last name. So, N, next. Never give up on your dreams and goals. Though many a day you'll be faced with insurmountable toes, keep the big picture in front of your eyes. It will be worth the heartache and cries. I is for inspire. Inspire others with your fortitude. If you can do it, so can others too. If you change the life of just one, know that your job is done. C is for choose. Choose a different path if the one you are on leads nowhere. Even though the new one at times may be hard to bear, put one foot in front of the other. Don't just be. The choices that you make create your destiny. K is for kiss. Kiss yourself every day for goodness sake. Praise yourself after every tiny step that you make. Constantly be your own cheerleader. Each goal that you reach will be that much sweeter. S is for serve. Serve others in all that you do. When you give, what you give always comes back to you. So set an intention right from the start that whatever you do, it's done in love and from the heart. So that was an inspirational poem I wrote to go along with this Fight Your Dream book.
Woo! I love it. That is beautiful. You have to send that to me, all right? You have to send it. It's not in the book. I don't remember reading this in the poem for the Heart. It's not in here, is it?
No, it's not in my poetry book. That was something that came to me after, you know, my book was published. But
oh, that's awesome. That is so beautiful. Because I was going, you just read that, you just recited that poem, and I mean that's beautiful. Because I found a poem in the book that I resonated to. Because you know my whole mantra is love, peace, and harmony. You know that's the vibe on which I grew. You know, and the poem that you had in the book that I'd like to share with everyone is How to Find Love. Our basic human need for love is so strong. Some search for it the whole life long. Look, is love over there? Are you trying to find love everywhere? Many say I'll find love if I only sit and wait. Others say I'll find love no matter what it takes. Love has always been and is inside of you. Love isn't something you find. Love is something you do. And then it's followed by some steps to grow by. And so the step to grow by and how to find love, it says, love, it says, put out into the universe what you want to come back to you. The law of reciprocity really is true. Be giving and authentic in all that you do. You won't have to find love. Love will find you. I just resonated with that so much when I was reading your book, and I said, oh, this is just so amazing. I have to share it. So, tell us a little bit about what prompted you to write poetry, because I know that there's a story, and I know when we were talking, you also said that there was a story, a backstory behind the CD that accompanies the book. But I'd like for you, and I don't know if they're related, because I told you, I said, no, don't tell me the story about the CD. I want to be surprised. But I want you to please give our listening audience the background story about what prompted you to get into poetry, because when you shared that with me, I thought that was really profound.
Well, I've been writing poems since I was a child. It was just something I just loved to do, and putting words to rhyme. And as I got older, I would write poems for people's birthdays and weddings and things like this. And I kept saying for years and years, I need to write a book. I need to write a book. Like so many people, we say that I need to write a book, and we don't get around to doing it. But I was talking to my mother one day, about 5 years ago, and she was just asking me what was I up to, and I said, oh, I'm just writing some poems. And she shared with me that when she was a young girl, she used to like to write poetry, and she would write religious poems, and she'd write all kind of poems, and she was telling me that she had even written a poem about herself called The Profile of a Woman. And I'm sitting here because this is like 50 years later. I never knew my mother had the same interest as me. And so I asked her if she could remember the poem, Profile of a Woman, that she had written. And she's like, oh, no. That was so long ago. I said, you didn't save it? And she's like, no, I didn't save it. And my mother's telling me this, and I'm like, okay, this is a sign that I have to write this book. Because this was news to me all my life. I'm with my mother, and I didn't know this about her. So I would like to share a poem that I wrote since she could not remember the poem she wrote about herself, called Profile of the Woman. I wrote a poem for her, and I'd like to share that one. And it is in my poetry book. And it's called Profile of a Woman. Dear Mother, you wrote that poem over 50 years ago. The words you no longer know. You passed your love of poetry to me through my DNA. Mother, please hear what I have to say. Your childhood was filled with struggle and strife. You've had such a hard life. At a very young age, you had 5 little ones, 3 daughters and 2 sons. You never drank or smoked. To your children, you were always yoked. I love the way you combed my hair. You kept us clean even when the cupboards were bare. You pinched pennies so that we could eat. Many nights your stomach empty, you went to sleep. You had to walk me 2 miles to and from school, whether it was hot or whether it was cool. You wanted us to have more than you had, and when you couldn't buy us things, it made you sad. You took care of other people's children, too, because that's what a real woman would do. You encouraged us to get an education. You knew that would be our salvation. When I look in the mirror, I see parts of you. I'm a beautiful, loving, giving woman because of you. Mother dear, I often smile. I'm so proud to carry your profile. So my mother, yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My mother was the inspiration for me getting this poetry book published.
That's so beautiful. And there's a story that you shared with me about. Did you share a story with me about a letter, or was it a poem that was sent to JFK, Jacqueline Onassis, after JFK passed away?
No, I didn't. I was sharing with you how my CD came about.
Okay, well then why don't we share about the CD, because we didn't really talk about that. Now, the CD is an accompaniment of the book. Is that correct?
Yes, the CD, the same poems that are in the book are put to music on the CD. And I wanted to create a CD with my poetry book, and I called around to different companies and, you know, people were quoting astronomical prices and just, you know, things. One person, a one instrument song, or a, and so anyway, I finally found a guy who was going to help me create my CD. He plays a saxophone, and so I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll go with him. And the morning that I woke up, the day I was supposed to go into the studio to create the CD, I woke up with laryngitis and could not talk. So I had to cancel that appointment. And a couple of weeks later, I was at an event at one of the community centers here in the lower Ninth Ward, and I walked in and I saw this guy from my childhood, and I said, Kim, and he looked at me like, Cheryl, and like, how are you? You know, I hadn't seen him probably 25, 30 years. We grew up together. We lived across the street from each other. And so we just started chit-chatting, and, you know, and I told him about my book and how I was looking to produce a CD. And he looked at me and said, well, I'm a producer. And he also played four different instruments, and the rest is history. And that's how my CD was created. So
that's awesome.
Yes, so, you know, sometimes.
Awesome.
And, you know, and I was so upset because I had laryngitis and I was fussing with myself and I was mad and, you know, and I'm like, you know, so sometimes when things go wrong, they're not wrong, they're right. We're looking at them like they're wrong and bad or whatever, or this messed me up. But sometimes it's a blessing in disguise. And so, yes, I have a much better product than I would have had with just one instrument and this one guy who was, you know, trying to help me. But so that's the lesson in that.
Oh, that's beautiful, and that's a very, very pivotal lesson, because, you know, how often do things not go the way that we anticipate that they should go? We have a plan, and we expect to do things a certain way, and they don't go that way, you know, or, you know, sometimes I even think of, and I'll bring it down even to the level if I'm traveling a route and all of a sudden I'm not going the route that I had planned, and I'm like, well, how did I end up over here? This is not the way that I was going, and I just take that to my intuition making me safe, you know, causing to make sure that I have the best route and safety for me to get where I need to go. So I aim not to get upset about it. I'm trying to do that, the positive self-talk, okay? Everything happens for my best and my highest good, right? So I see we can we hear that that's what just happened to you with your CD.
Yeah, And, yeah, so really if we could just understand everything happens the way it's supposed to happen and accept that, we'd be better off.
Absolutely. So what is there, I'm going to open up the line. Yama, I'm going to open up your line. If you don't mind, I'm going to bring Yama back in. Is there anything more that you want to say? I'm going to have some dialogue with Yama. Yama, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
welcome,
great.
Welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, Yama.
Your testimony of your life and your experience, it's like phenomenal, because as I'm hearing you speaking, everything that you did, you were aligning yourself. You know, you told the story about how you grew up and your mom had five children when she was 2 years old and you were the oldest one. It's just like, you know, chills came over me, because you see, in today's society, if you a woman who's 22 years old and have five children, I mean, she's frowned upon. But during the time, and it can happen now. You can have five kids when you're 22, and the connections that your child may have to bring her or him to the point in their lives where they succeed. You know, you know, when you said that, I was thinking about in today's society, they say they have to plan to have babies. I got to plan it. I got to have the money. I got to have that. But in your life and many other people's lives, when their mom and dad had children, it all lined up to bring you, since it's about you today, exactly where you had to be. And with your CD, and you're talking about you didn't feel well, your throat was bothering you, and how you where you went, and you recognized, you know, a friend who you grew up with, and opportunity was right there. Because even, you know, I always say this, and it's always been a part of me. No matter what you do, you have to persevere. You can't let anything stop you. You really can't, because you can't even let sickness stop you. Because I know when you ran into your friend, that sickness, I mean, you were totally well. Totally well. See?
Yes.
So sometimes we have to get sick to get well and get our needs met. The desire and the vision that you had, it got met. And you were in a mode of not feeling well, getting a little upset because you couldn't go the way you wanted to go. But that was not your path for you to get your CD done. So your testimony or your words or your life or speaking about your life, it's just beautiful, and letting people know you can succeed, but you have to have that vision. You have to know what you want and know what you can do. And when you went to nursing school, wow, that was like, I mean, during that time, like you said, X amount of people just, you know, dropped out. But you see, when you know what the Creator has already planned for you and you know it, you're not guessing about what I should do, but you know what you have to do, you will succeed. You're a living testimony. And I know there's other people that followed the path or got aligned with the proper people to accomplish what their goals, what they set out to do. And you know what?
Yes.
I found out, Cheryl,
yes,
that when you said desires, well, our desires come from the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from Him. So our desires, He's going to fulfill. We just have to persevere, hear, and obey.
Yeah.
And you know, your books and your poetry that you wrote, the poetry that you wrote for your mom, that was simply beautiful. You know, it just reminds you when you talk about her, you know, combing your hair and how she, you know, walk you to school. I mean, those are treasures. Those are jewels.
Yes.
Yes. And you pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. Those are jewels. That's a vivid picture of your mom. And when she said about what love is all about, or when Layla read that, and love is what you do.
Yes.
In spite of your situation. Right, it was beautiful. I mean, the love of a mother is just, it's the greatest, the love of a mother. You know why? Because the Creator gives us the mother. So it's great. He designed it that way. And, you know, I mean, I haven't met anyone who didn't love their mom, whether she did right or she did wrong. They just love their mom.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you, Yana.
Yes, I enjoyed it. I mean, it just took me to places that I had been before and made me totally satisfied. I was thinking about when my grandmother combed my hair, and she would put one braid in the top, one on the side, and one in the back. And I used to look and say, why did my grandmother do that? But now I realize she was doing something for me. And now I can look back and see how beautiful it was.
And I would like to just mentioned the producer, Kim Hill, who helped me to produce my CD, has been my right-hand man. We're thinking about working on another project, but he's using his gift to teach the young children in the community here in the Lower Ninth Ward to play instruments. So I just wanted to put that out there that it's about passing your gift on. And that brings me into my next topic, our youth. I have always had a passion for youth, babies, and children. As you can see, I've been taking care of babies in hospitals for over 40 years. I just feel that our youth are, you know, they're our gift. And there's a saying, Kisarian and Gara, and that's a Swahili. In Swahili, it means, how are the children? And among the tribes of Africa, few warriors are traditionally more fearsome than the Maasai and the Maasai warriors. But when the Maasai warriors greet each other, that's what they say, Kisarian and Gara. And it means, and how are the children? Mm. And it is still the traditional greeting among the Maasai today. They have a high value for the well-being of children. And even the Maasai who don't have children, they always give the answer, and the children are well. And that means that there's peace and safety, and the priorities of protecting the young and the powerless are in place. And the Maasai society has not forgotten its reason for being and its responsibilities. They always say, and the children are well. And that means to them that life is good. It means that the daily struggles of existence do not preclude proper care for the young. And how beautiful would that be if we here in America would incorporate that mentality? And how are the children? Because our children are lost. Our children are killing each other. Our children have, you know, very few mentors and positive people in their lives. And, you know, they're inundated with the negative things from the TV and the internet and the cell phones and the chat rooms and the on and on. So I just want to put that out there, my passion for our youth.
No, that's beautiful, and that's what we stand for, the upliftment of all humanity. And if we do not take care of ourselves, first of all, we have to take care of ourselves and you know, and love ourselves. And the poetry that you have brought forward instills the self-love. And when we love ourselves and we fill ourselves up with that self-love, because you said hug ourselves all the time. In the next poem that you recited for us, you share that with us. That's what we're supposed to do. And when we do that, then now we get to overpour our cup, because we now have filled ourselves with self-love, and now we can pour that love out to others. Obviously, the ones around us. So when we're pouring that out to the ones that are around us, then that fills them up, and then they get to go into wherever they go and spread that love. So it becomes a flowing fountain. And a wave of love is going out throughout the entire universe. Like I said, my mantra is love, you know, because love is the highest vibration, and that's what your poetry speaks about. And when we do that, that will be the healing balm. That's the healing balm that the world needs. That's the healing balm that we all need, and that's what the healing balm the world needs. And that's what you brought to us today, so that's awesome. What I'd like to do, was there anything else you wanted to say? Because what I'd like to do is, we have listeners out here. We want to invite you to join the conversation. If you have a comment, a question, a concern, you want to join this conversation, feel free to press 1 from your line, and we will open up your line and have you join. You can talk to Cheryl and ask her a question. Cheryl, this book that you wrote, Poems for the Heart with Steps to Grow By, is a self-published book. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. I know that there must be some people out there that are looking to write a book. So you've got someone here who's written a book that can probably maybe even answer some questions for you. The call-in number is 657-383-0332. If you're in the chat, and by the way, I want to welcome all of our guests that are in the chat. We want to thank you for being here. If you have any questions, please feel free to write your question in the chat, and we will get your question to Cheryl or any of us will be happy to answer them for you. We'll recite what your question is on air, and then we'll answer it. I just wanted to make everyone aware that tomorrow, Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time, we will be here at the same number, the same login at Blog Talk Radio, Thor Radio Ministry. Thor Ministry Radio, Thor Ministry Radio. And we will have our brother Francis Revels Bay, a metaphysician, that will be teaching us how to manifest all of our heart's desires. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will. We have the lines are lighting up. We have people who want to ask questions, and everyone, bear with me. We will come back and get your questions answered in just a moment.
I'm not afraid to die.
back, and we have some people that are waiting to join the conversation or ask some questions. All right. Cheryl, are you ready? Yama, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, we're going to thank everyone for being here. To the Women We Elevated, we're going to open up the line for 504, ending in 4145. That's 504-410-4145. Welcome to the Women We Elevated.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello,
Cheryl?
We hear you.
Yes.
Yes.
This is Linda Andrews. And Cheryl, I just want to say I'm so proud of what you're doing in our community. And I'm especially proud of my brother who stood up to help you produce that CD. I'm so proud of you. And I just want you to remember, if you need any help, just give me a call. And I just want to say to the listeners that not only did Cheryl Mama help take care of Mother, help take care of everybody in the neighborhood, so did her grandmother. It was such a pleasure growing up and living in that community with the people, because it was a real trouble community. But we did have some people in that neighborhood, and especially Cheryl Mother and Grandmother, that helped take care of everybody on that block. And again, Cheryl, thank you, and I'm there for your support.
Thank you, Linda. Oh, I have chills. Linda, that was my first little friend. We've been friends since we were like 4 or 5 years old. Yes, Linda, thank you. And her brother is Kim, yeah, my producer. So that tells you how long we've all known each other and how far we go back together. Thank you, Linda, for those words. I love you.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Take care.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda.
Welcome.
Okay, we're going to open up the line for 504-7360. That's 504-7360. Welcome to the Women We Elevated.
Hello.
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 Yeah, this is Linda Allen.
Hey, Linda.
My best friend, Miss Cheryl Nick. We are nurses together. She went to neonatal, and I did OB because I love kids. And I am so proud of you. We have been friends for many, many years.
Yes.
And our children grew up together.
Yes.
And I really am, I'm missing you because I'm in Houston, and I would definitely be there to help you the next when I move back to New Orleans.
Thank you so much, Linda. Another Linda. Thank you. Love you too.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay. Okay.
All right, we have another caller. Caller from 337-0395. 337-0395. Welcome to the Women We Elevated.
Good morning, or is it afternoon there?
Well, where I am, it's morning. I'm in Central Time Zone. Yama, what time of the day is it for you, where you are? Oh,
well,
I don't know if Yama. Okay, well, Yama, I know she's on Eastern Time Zone. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, this is Pastor Charles Garrison, a poet of New Orleans. And I say a poet, not the poet. And Cheryl, I've been listening the whole while. I celebrate. You all don't know it, but I'm a male nurse. I started out in nursing, OBGYN, as a military medic. And the irony of it, I talked to Cheryl last night. I told her I was pregnant with my book and I needed a midwife to help deliver. And what she has achieved is exactly what many of us that have been impregnated by our God, hallelujah, how he has blessed us with giftedness. And the blessing of what Cheryl has been able to accomplish is what all of us are supposed to be doing. God uses human instruments is one of the poems that I wrote, and she definitely is an instrument. And in our community, the lower ninth ward, where everybody's looking at it with negativity, our community just was a thriving community with people that were, you know, just achieving things. Dr. Keatsy Ferdinand, the Lundy family, so many people. And Cheryl, we just have to keep on showing our children. That's the one thing that, unfortunately, with the charter schools, many of our children don't get a chance to see as many of the community leaders who have come out of these communities and have achieved. So I just really, I wanted to just call. I didn't even go to the French Market and set up my booth. I said, no, I'm going to stay and listen for as long as I can. And I just want to say thank you. And thank you all for bringing her on the show. She's a gem. And she's a gem in so many different ranks. And I'm having contractions, Cheryl. And
uh-oh.
Yes. But I think I'm somewhere close to zero station or at least plus one. So you've at least
she's got some time now, right? She's got some time.
Yes.
He has little time. I'm going to stay on his case. He is going to deliver that book soon.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
He's talked about it for a long time. He's going to deliver soon.
Can I share one quick poem with you guys and then I can run off?
Sure, by all means.
Yes.
Okay. It's called He Uses Human Instruments. There are many things in life that we do not know, most of which we need in life to help us as we grow. Our Father set a special plan to show us where to go, but He alone knows the way, so it's up to Him to show. Now, He leads us to a person who has somehow found the way, a person who has seen the light, who will help brighten up our day. He uses human instruments, for they know what to say, for they have learned to trust in Him, and in their life He'll stay. Now, life is full of mysteries that keep us far behind, but if we learn of Jesus, He'll surely free our mind. God uses human instruments to help us all to find that if we put our faith in Him, He'll give us life divine. Hallelujah. Cheryl, you're an instrument.
Thank you so very much.
Y'all be blessed. Thank you so much, darling. Y'all be blessed.
Okay, and whenever you all visit New Orleans, go to the French Market. Look for Pastor Charles. He's there. He has poetry on bookmarkers and other things that he sells in the French Quarter. So support him also. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Shalom. Layla.
Yes, ma'am.
I was speaking before, but I had it on mute. You know, you had asked me something, and I'm talking up a storm, and it was on mute. So now I unmuted. So, yes, when Sharon, not Sharon,
Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. When Cheryl was talking about her mom and her mom had wrote a poem and everything. And she didn't have it or didn't remember it, but she let Cheryl know that she had written a poem, maybe more than one. Well, yesterday, Layla, when you and I were speaking, and I told you that my mom had wrote, poems,
yes.
and I wanted to, I thought I knew where it was, and I said, okay. Maybe, you know, since this is about writing poetry and books and just conversating about relationship with moms and mothers and our grandma. And I couldn't find a poem. So I'm looking and looking, and I just found it.
Oh, beautiful.
But I want to read one of them. This is a poem, yes, that my mom wrote. I came home and I said, Mom, I got to write a poem for school. So, and I didn't write it. My mom wrote it. And when I took it to the teacher, I told her my mom wrote this poem. And when she read it and everything, she said, your mom didn't write that. So, and people will try to, you know, discredit you or someone you know or your mom or your family. But I know my mom wrote it, and she wrote it for me for school. And I let the teacher know my mom wrote this. So I'm going to read it. The title of it is Clouds on a Summer Day. As on the soft green grass I lie, I watch the fleecy clouds go sailing across an azure sky, sailing in shapes of many things, a royal couch, a ship, a king, a milkmaid with her pail in hand, an emperor from a foreign land, traveling at terrific speed, a lad as if to kneel and pray, to thank our Creator for such a day. And as they sail from east to west, they sail away into nothingness. That's the poem.
Wow.
That was great. Thank you. It was a...
You know, and we started talking about showing overcoming obstacles, and it's just amazing how we have talked about overcoming obstacles, and we're riding on a plane out into the atmosphere, up into the heavens, if you want to call it, out into the ozone. We're not even on the ground anymore. We're dealing with beatitudes. In poetry, it's just amazing how we've arrived here in sharing poems, you know, because if you came out with that, I'm like, well, you know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. You know, I've been doing a little bit of writing myself, and I said, well, let me share this, and maybe I will, maybe I won't. But before I decide whether I'm going to do this or not, I just really appreciate and value everyone being here. And Cheryl, just for you listening about spirit, you know, because that's what I'm feeling. My spirit is uplifted. My mindset is uplifted with the beatitudes of the words that have been laid out, that you laid out in your mind, that you put on paper, and that you've audibly shared, and that we're all sharing here today. And I would expect that we will all leave here more inspired than when we arrived here, which is great. Yama, that is just so beautiful. And I remember now, Yama, when we were talking, because I got you confused with Cheryl. You were the one that said, that talked about JFK, right, and Jacqueline Kennedy.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right.
When JFK...
Go ahead.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When JFK died, my mom wrote a poem, and she sent it to, you know, the White House or wherever place, you know, she sent it, and Jacqueline Kennedy sent her a letter acknowledging that she had received it, and that it would go into the Kennedy Library. So, because my mom was always writing and reading, you know, and so the poem is called "The Eternal Flame." It's in the Kennedy Library in Washington D.C. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Wonderful, yes.
Well, I would like to take the opportunity. I decided that I'll go ahead and share this poem. I wrote it a few months back. And I haven't put. I do things on my phone, so I haven't put it. I haven't transferred anything out and over to Word to be able to even put in any kind of format. This is just random. Your words stir my soul. They mix me up and make me whole. It lifts me off my feet, suspend me midair out of my seat. Your words twist me, bend me, never to offend me. Your words bring solace and never malice. Your words speak love and fit me like a glove. Your words are more poetic than art. They make love to my healing heart. Oh, the words you speak I want and need so evermore. They always find me at your door.
That's it, Layla. That was beautiful, Layla.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so
see,
now
I debuted
my first poem.
Yes, we all have that inner being in us, and we just have to allow it to come out. and we will produce, will bring forth fruit. Yes.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So, Cheryl, please tell us, what is next for you? Because I know you were sharing how you love the neonatal. So what's going on there? Are you still working in that arena right now?
Yes, I am still a neonatal nurse practitioner, dabbling with, I don't know, another book, poetry book, something for the youth. I'm all over the place right now, just putting down little ideas here and there. But I would like to, at this time, acknowledge all of the single fathers out there, because they get forgotten. We do. Sometimes we get into, you know, the mother thing, and we forget about there are a lot of single fathers out there who are holding it down, and there are a lot of men in communities all around the country who are educators and coaches and who have organizations where they're trying to make a difference with our young boys and our men and with our children in general. So I just wanted to acknowledge them. And I have a poem that I wrote, and this is going to be my last one.
No worries. It's awesome. And I agree with you. We do. And all your brothers out there, you know, and Cheryl, I know you're going to share that poem. You know, I share with you, you know, I've been speaking with on different forums with brothers out there that, as I shared at the top of the show, that are making a difference. And they're coming together. They themselves are coming together to help themselves elevate to a whole new level. And they are saying that they wish the women would elevate to another level, because they realize that they're only going to do what the woman allows them to do. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
If we as women have low standards, then they're going to be at low standards. But we as women, when we raise our standards, they'll just do what it is that we allow them to do. So I'm going to say kudos to you, all of you brothers out there that are exemplifying the higher standard. We honor you. We love you.
We did,
and we have brought a single father here to talk about what he has to deal with. So we are very in tune with that, Cheryl, and I thank you for bringing that forward. Please, by all means, please share your poem.
Yes, and this poem is, I'll just go into the poem. As a nurse practitioner, I receive newborn babies into the world. Some are little boys and some are little girls. Some go to homes where they're nurtured, pampered, and loved. And some go to homes where they're cursed at, abused, and shoved. They soon become what we call those lost violent teens. But many of them are only emulating what they have seen. Don't judge them by their pants hanging down, their clothes, or their hair. Because deep down inside they're crying, "Will somebody please care?" In order for a boy to be a man, he has to constantly see a man. Are you willing to lend him your helping hand? Each one teach one, is what my license plate says. And many of them can be saved with some love and some praise. How many more have to be murdered and sutured? Our youth may be 40% of our population, but they're 100% our future. I invite you to reach out and touch a child. I guarantee it will be worth your while. Or just pick up the phone and say you matter and interrupt some of their negative inner chatter. And just know that your job is done if you save only one, only one.
Beautiful.
There's nothing else to be said after that, so I'm sure that it's just magnificent.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on your show. If anyone wants to get a book, the Fight for Your Dreams book is on Amazon, but the personalized copy, if you want it autographed with my picture on the cover with Les, if you want my poetry book, you can send me an email. I'll give you my email address, and I can have one shipped to you. My email address is tirala@aol.com. T as in Tom, I, R as in Rat, A as in Apple, L as in apple, at AOL.com. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks for the comments. And thank you, Layla and Yama.
It's my pleasure. I want to give an opportunity to see if there's anyone else. By all means. If there's anyone else that would like to chime in, have a comment, question, this is your last opportunity to press 1. Just press 1 from your phone. Don't be shy. We're just having a conversation, and we'll be happy to include you. All right, so hold on for 1 second. I think we have a caller. Let me just check something. Yeah, I think we have a caller here. 504-0436.
Yes.
504-0436. Welcome to the Woman in the Elevated.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hi. My name is Lacey. I'm Cheryl's daughter.
Hi, Lacey.
How's everybody
Hi,
doing?
Hi, Lacey. Wonderful. Beautiful.
I wanted to chime in. I'm at work, and I wanted to let you know, Mom, I'm definitely listening. I appreciate you wonderful ladies for having her on and allowing her to share her story that inspires me so much. And I'll keep up the good work, Mom.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. And thank you for being such a wonderful daughter, my right-hand man.
We
Your
always
right
need
hand.
One of those. And it's beautiful to have that mother-daughter relationship. I love it. And Lacey, peace of love and many blessings to you. You're just being ingrained with some positive strength that obviously has been downloaded from your great-grandmother, your grandmother, your mom. So you're a very powerful young woman.
Thank
DNA
you.
DNA encoded.
Yes.
Yes, they're some phenomenal women, and I'm glad to have them in my life. In my life.
That's beautiful.
Thank you
for joining Thor Radio Network.
I'm going to get back to work. Y'all have a good day.
Okay.
All right, you too, Bye. Lacey.
Yes.
Bye.
All right, Cheryl, are there any last comments that you would like to make?
That was just was a wonderful show, and I hope people got some inspiration and some life lessons. And I want everybody to go out and birth their babies, their books, or their dreams, and also to remember to serve others and uplift other people.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you here. And
yes,
I hope and I had a wonderful time. Wonderful time with you here.
Yes,
thank
very
you.
Enjoying. I really enjoyed
thank
myself.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yama, do you have anything else that you'd like to share with everyone?
I enjoyed it. You know, the truth that is alive, that even though you have to reach back to see where you came from and how you have produced your life in an area to serve others and have testimony of others of your help in the community. It's just, that should be everyone's story or their truth. That should be everyone's truth. Getting all you can so you can give it out so others can give it out and so others can give it out. That should be everyone's truth. That's on this earth, always giving, doing what you're supposed to do so you can receive the abundance and then you can let it go. You can give because it's constantly coming in. So I truly enjoyed the show. As of all the time, Women Re-Elevated. There's always some truth. There's always some light that shines that you can walk in and change your and change your outlook on life and bring you up to a higher level, bring you up to ultra-high frequency. You know, it's like a continuous thing. It's not to get at Women Reelevated, all about movement, flowing, and constantly receiving and giving. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Mama, for those words.
Thank you.
Well, definitely. Please feel free to join the Women Reelevated every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Central Time. That's the time zone I'm on. 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number is 657-383-0332. You can download any and all of the shows at blogtalkradio.com/Thor Ministry Radio. We, Thor Radio Network, will air Decree and It Shall Be with our brother Francis on Thursday, so that will be tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time. The same call-in number live is 657-383-0332, and that show can be downloaded at Blog Talk Radio, Thor Ministry Radio. On Tuesdays, our founder of Thor Radio Network, our very own brother Sharif, hosts the Tuesday Debt Show, where all debt matters are discussed. Come on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we have a panel of where he has his team, Yama, myself, and Tiffany, who stand behind him, beside him, in front of him, while we aim to gird him down, but he's not one to be girded down at all. He's a masterful in the area of debt collection matters. I would just like to leave everyone with just be the change you want to see in the world. It starts with you. It starts with me. Nobody else. Don't look left, right, up, or down. Just go stand and look in the mirror, and that reflection looking back at you is the one that needs to be the change we need to see in the world. With that being said, everyone, thank you for being here at the Women Reelevated. Love, peace, and many, many blessings.
Oh, thank you.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Now the war is not over.
every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be